Hello, my name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Weber.
What's happening, Smith? Hello, hello.
I'm Smith, that's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Makers Podcast. And welcome aboard. This is our third episode of the Wager Makers. We had our first couple episodes a week ago. We talked a little bit about the first preseason game of the year, the Broncos and the Falcons. We made some picks, and we're going to do the same type of thing again tonight. How's it going, Weber?
Doing good, man. How are you? How's things down in New Orleans?
Oh, we're doing good. We're doing good. It's a little hot down here. The summer gets long
sweaty.
This time of year, so no
sweaty.
Doubt.
Yeah,
no doubt.
That. Sweaty.
No
up
doubt.
Here
swamp
too.
Ass. It's swamp ass time. So anyway, did you catch any of that Broncos-Falcons game? I know the early preseason games are tough to watch sometimes. Did you get to watch all of that?
I did. I watched the vast majority of it. I didn't watch the whole thing. It's a lot of, well, some of what we thought was going to happen, some not so much. Some missed throws that would have got us a couple of deep plays anyways. I don't know about scores, but, it looked okay. It was okay. About what we thought.
Right. It was tough to watch, especially for those out there catching us for the first time. Just so you know, we just joined up with a website called sportswatchmonitor.com. That's sportswatchmonitor.com. And basically what they do is they track picks of all the gambling services, trying to give you a heads up so that we can't be on here every week saying, oh, we went 10-0 again last week and we're full of shit. So we put our first couple of picks on there last week. We took the Broncos, we're -2.5, and we took the over in the Falcons game at 34. Now, it was a pretty obvious probably by halftime that the over was going to be in tough shape. We were pretty much cooked on that one. And so it was tough to watch. And then you're watching backup quarterbacks, third string quarterbacks, some cases guys that are probably going to be coaching in high school in a few weeks. And
gym teachers.
Right. Exactly. So it wasn't looking good for us for a while. And then all of a sudden, if you haven't seen it, Matt Schaub in. Go ahead, Webb.
Schaub looked horrendous, horrible.
That dude terrible.
Cashing a check. the other kid, Burkhardt or whatever, he looked decent. I think that's who. I don't know. Someone threw a pick for us there late in the game.
Right. Well, what happened? I think about late in the fourth quarter, Burkhardt, who had been playing pretty good, he was. Yep. I had his numbers here somewhere, and he'd been playing pretty good for a while, and. He got hurt in the fourth quarter. So Schaub comes back in, and at about 5 minutes left, Schaub gives us that interception we were dying for.
Yeah.
We were down, the Broncos were down 10-7.
10-7, right.
Right.
14,
right. Broncos 14, were down
10-7.
And then the kid, Rippon from Boise State.
Yeah. Mark Rippon's kid, right?
Yep. First time, he was in the game. He marches them down. They have a big fourth down, fourth and four. Yeah, fourth and four, fourth and five. They pick up the first down at the goal line, basically. And it's as usual. There's a holding call and pushes them back. So it's first game of the season. You're already saying, all right, this is nothing has changed in the gambling in the gambling world.
Right.
Nothing has changed. We're still in the same spot. We get a chance to get a late touchdown, at least split and go 1-1. And here's the holding call that keeps us from letting it happen. So sure enough, they push him back. I think it was 4th and 14 by the time the last end of the game went, and they pick it up. So Rippon throws the ball to this kid, Juwan Winfrey.
Wasn't all that easy either.
Right.
It was a juggler.
It was a sixth round pick from out of Colorado, and like I say, a couple guys fighting to make the team. The ball bounces around, juggles around a little bit, and the kid comes down with the pass. So we ended up with a 1-1. The Falcons do what they do, and as a Saints fan, I loved it. I loved it even more because it was the Falcons. I can't even in preseason. I can't watch them lose enough.
Don't get too excited. Right? Don't get too excited.
I can't watch them lose enough. I enjoy watching the Falcons lose.
But hey, just remember that everybody out there. When we start bitching and moaning and anything didn't go our way, but just remember that that 4th and 14 from Rippon to some other guy who's going to be washing cars here in a couple of weeks.
Right.
They got us to a push. So.
Right. So we went to 1-1, and we made a few baseball picks this week. We're kind of battling back and forth. But like I said, you can watch us on the sportswatchmonitor.com just to track our picks and make sure we're doing good. You can see other professional handicappers on there and get some ideas from them too. So we got a couple things.
Any thoughts? Yeah, let's throw in there. If anybody needs any thoughts on day-to-day baseball, please feel free to email.
No doubt.
We could get right back to you.
That's right. You can email us. Again, in case you haven't seen this before, you can email us at thewagermakers@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Facebook at The Wager Makers Podcast and The Wager Makers Podcast on Twitter. So we're all over the place. We would love to hear from you, hear any questions. One more thing before we get any further, I would like to thank John Papa Grow. He's a well-known New Orleans musician here, known around the world. He is providing us with our bumper music before and after. And I forgot to mention him in the first two episodes. And the biggest thing I'd like to mention, and this will go a long way with him, is I've been in the same fantasy football league for about 25 years with a bunch of guys that work together down in the French Quarter about 25 years ago. And we get together once a year for our fantasy football draft. Well, his team won our fantasy football league last year. It's his first win in 25 years. So John Grow, congratulations. You are the champ. I said it, and thank you for the music. So we're going to move on from there. So
congrats, there was a couple big man. Stories. Thanks for the tunes.
No doubt. There was a few stories that, that caught your eye this week, I think, Webb. One was,
this gets me going, bro.
What do you think? We heard a little bit about, from David Griffin, the Pelicans GM, kind of mentioned, LeBron James. I think you've almost called him out saying how tough it was to, as a GM, to deal with him and do a couple of things. And what were your thoughts on that?
I don't understand. There's just too much access to these people. These are supposedly intelligent people. To what end? And what now, as we said, we're going back. Now that means that the Pelicans are losing every game they play against the Lakers from now until LeBron James is dead. And let's hope, you know, for your Pelican fans out there, that you don't match up with somehow the Lakers are one and you're the eight, or the Lakers are two and you're the seven. LeBron's going to play 45 minutes and go for 45 points every game. You're swept. That's it. It's over. So I don't know the point, the end, what he was, if he's patting himself on the back. I'm hoping somewhere something was taken out of context, but even later, you know, seeing stuff come out even later, there was nothing there. I don't know what these guys, I don't know what he was talking about or why, to how that helps him in any way.
Right. I think, you know, usually you think your GM's trying to avoid that kind of drama, but, yeah. You know, he did walk the comments back a little bit later on, but if you look at some of the quotes, you know, he talked about, you know, I don't have the exact quote here, but, that, you know, LeBron doesn't really have the same will to win that he once had, that, you know, it was hard to build a team around him because it was all about him and things like that. So I don't know, but I can tell you this, about LeBron, the LeBron and AD situation from, being a Pelicans fan, wasn't real happy about the way it all went down. Not a big AD fan. I don't have anything to say bad about his athletic ability, but he is not an A-type personality. I think for him to have success, he's going to have to be around a guy like LeBron. You know, he sat around here for 7 years. He was here in New Orleans and won one playoff series. All the experts, supposed experts, tell us every year just about how AD is one of the top five guys in the league. Well, to me, in basketball, if you're that, you win. You know, you get some wins. I'm not saying you got to win championships, but man, one playoff series in 7 years. I don't care who they put around you. If LeBron was here or one of the other marquee guys in the league was here with these same guys, with Jrue Holiday, some of the other guys they have around them, I think a lot of guys would have got a lot more done. I think AD, personality wise, is his biggest problem. I think he's not that team leader. He's not a leader. He's not a go-getter like that. He likes to manage shadows. He'll probably have some success with LeBron, but I officially hate the Lakers, in case you were wondering. That is now my new most hated team in the
Remember
NBA.
That, people, for later on. I got to agree with you, though. I mean, that's a real tough thing to say. Tough to build a team around LeBron. Yes, of course, you need a different – he's kind of a point forward, whatever you want to call him. But that's like saying, how hard was it to build a team around Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan? Just get, you know – three other bodies, get a center, some other dude that can shoot, and then, you know, throw Dennis Rodman out there and you're in the finals for as long as Michael and Scotty are playing, and Michael in particular, and it's the same with LeBron, you're going to complain about putting a team next to him. Yeah, he's going to ask and demand, quite frankly, who he wants to play with, but it all makes sense. That to me seems it would be, I'll take the job. I'll take the job.
Right. I think there's about 30 some odd other NBA executives that would take the GM job with LeBron as your mainstay on a team, no doubt.
Yep.
So I like what Griffin has done so far for the Pelicans. Granted, winning the lottery and getting Zion has nothing to do with him. That's kind of a luck of the draw kind of thing. But I like some of the other moves. He's getting some young talent in here. So we'll see how it turns out. I think they're a few years away from really challenging, but it's going to be an exciting year in New Orleans for the NBA. Today,
sure, one of the most exciting teams out there to watch are going to be the Pelicans.
No doubt. It's going to be a lot of fun. So not only that, but it's also today, I saw Tom Brady signed a contract extension. I think a couple more years. That's going to get him until he's 44 years old under contract. Just like Drew Brees, I think I mentioned in one of the other episodes, I feel like this is Drew Brees' last year. Brady was in the last year of his deal. Now he's signed an extension. There's been no talk of that here in New Orleans. No talk about Drew Brees signing an extension. Nothing like that. I really feel like this is, and the fact that I feel like the Saints overpaid a little bit, probably only by a couple million or something, million or two for Michael Thomas. I think they think this is the last go around with Drew Brees. They want everybody in camp. They want to, this is going to be the run that they make, and we'll see how it works out. And
I got to agree with you there. This is the last best chance for the Saints. Yeah, Brees is, I mean, you saw it last year. We talked about it last time. He can't throw the deep ball anymore. He's still, you know, cerebral, definitely baller type three, top three or four in the league. And they got a good chance. I mean, they have a more than a puncher's chance that they should be there, barring any of this crazy nonsense that's gone with them the past couple years, but they should be there. And then the Tom Brady thing is, he said he wants to play till he's 45, so he's going to play till he's 45. They're going to pay him when he has to be paid, and they're going to pay him what he wants to be paid. $23 million, I mean, Dak Prescott get ready to get $30 million. I mean, Russell Wilson get 35. He's giving him a break, just like he's always done. And he's got, I'm just going to bring him to 44. He'll sign one more last hurrah, and that's going to be it. He'll play till he's 45, and that's it for him.
Pretty amazing. No reason for him to step down at this point. If he likes to play and his body can put up with it, why not? A lot of teams want to have Tom Brady playing for him for any price. Yeah. So, Webb, did you see this story coming out of – so I guess this kid, Nathan Peterson, he's 23 years old. And you know how you go to a ball game and they have the radar gun, the little machine there you can throw the ball into with the radar gun. So he hops up in there and throws a 96 mile per hour fastball. Did you see anything about this story?
I saw it and I blew it off and I saw it popped up again. I don't know if it was a scam. It reminded me of the Sid Finch story. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, back in the day with the Mets, or some fictitious story about a Mets found some pitcher in, I don't know, in the desert somewhere, could throw 97 miles an hour. So this Sid Finch was the name. But this kind of reminded me of that. But this, I guess it seems legitimate. He's actually on the A's roster. I mean, I'm wishing the kid's what, 23. I'm hoping it works out. I would love it. I would love it.
A lot of fun.
It gives the rest of us hope.
It'll make you throw a little bit. When you go into the Monmouth County Fair next year, you're going to warm up before you throw into the bullpen there.
I was getting loose this afternoon, man. I was feeling good.
You never know who's watching. You never know who's watching.
That's right. So what do you think? What's your thoughts on that? What do you think he can do?
Well, I think it's a great story. We'll see what happens. There's a lot more to it than throwing. But boy, that's a big first step. You know, when you're looking for raw talent, if you can step up there without really warming up and without doing much and humming in there at 96 miles an hour with no major league coaching yet or anything like that. I mean, hey, why not? Why not? Yep. I mean, it's just kind of like if they go somewhere in the NFL and try and find a guy that's not played any football, but he's got all the measurables. Yeah. He's running a 4.4 and he's 300 pounds and he's 6'5", and you bring him in and try him out and see what happens. So what can it hurt? Yep. So good luck, Nathan Peterson, whoever you are out there. So he'll be playing for the A's Or well, yep, he signed with Ace. We'll see how that turns out. Showed up on I'd like to talk a little bit about the Oakland Raiders for a sec. You know, they made the signing of Antonio Brown in the offseason, and a story came by the other day. Actually, he tweeted some pictures. I don't know if you saw the pictures of the bottom of tweeted some pictures of the bottom of his feet. And the bottom of his feet had blisters all over him, and they were pretty disgusting looking. So I was sorry that I had to do that, but research, it's for you people. It's for you people out there. I had to look at the bottom of it.
Take one for Brown's the team, feet. Smith. Yeah.
So I do it for you. I do it for you. Yeah. So, he's laid up, going to be probably for the first preseason game. Some of their training camp practices. What are your take on the Raiders themselves and on Gruden, and how does this experiment's going?
I mean, this is another one of those just shake your head type things. You give a guy that was having all Antonio Brown. I mean, you can't argue with the production. Just put that to the side. But the guy was upset with whatever he was making. I'm assuming, yeah, he was underpaid. Let's definitely say that. But now you bring him in. You're bringing from the Pittsburgh Steelers, always in a playoff hunt. I'm sure his entire career. Mike Tomlin, I don't think, has ever had a losing season. You got a Hall of Fame quarterback. You got a great offensive line. You definitely have some bunch of high draft picks on the defensive side of the ball. He's not going to be happy there. Now you're going to go to Oakland. You won 3 games last year. You're not winning more than 3 games this year. You're nomads. You're going to be playing, I think, at Stanford, and then maybe, I'm not even sure where you're going to be playing. You're going to be in high school locker rooms. There's no way in any scenario that it's going to play out this season for sure. Then you throw in John Gruden, another guy who doesn't, the guy never passed up a television camera himself. They give him a 10-year, $100 million contract. You throw another television guy, Mayock, the GM. Let's put him on HBO too. So let's just throw some more oil on the fire. So I don't know. I feel for Raider fans. I don't see anything. And I think Derek Carr is just a good dude. He just wants to play football. And he's kind of in the mix of this, getting thrown under the bus left and right. I don't see this team doing anything. Just more than pure entertainment value is the best thing you're bringing to the table.
Right. I do like Hard Knocks, though. I enjoy watching that show. So especially with the Raiders this year, and Gruden's pretty entertaining. I've kind of been a fan of his over the years. But you bring in Antonio Brown. This guy, he's the number one guy in Pittsburgh. They win every year. You're playing with Ben Roethlisberger, who is a Hall of Fame quarterback. You're the number one weapon in that offense, and you're not happy there. And you're going to go to Oakland and play with Carr and Gruden. And, they bring in, I think, Incognito.
Getting double teamed every play.
Right, right. And the Raiders, they bring in Incognito. They bring in Burfict from Cincinnati. They're basically a who's who of NFL jerks. They're bringing in there. And I don't know. Those guys are probably talented guys, but they're also the kind of guys that can rip apart your locker room. So I don't see anything happen anytime soon there. I can't wait to see NFL in Las Vegas. I'll be the first one when the Saints are playing in Vegas to hop on a plane and catch a game out there, but I don't see them being good for a while. So
next season, correct? They should be kicking off in. Okay. Well, it's only 1 year. It's going to be a long year.
Right. We got a little bone to pick with Weber here. He mentioned earlier this week that Zeke and Dak and Amari Cooper would all be signed and in camp.
Dak and Cooper are there
or whatever. But he said Zeke would be signed by the next podcast. Well, here we are. I don't know if he had a couple pops that day and was looking forward to talking. Was
shaking my head, man.
was looking forward to being on the air and talking some shit about Zeke, but I don't know what happened there.
Just doing some research, doing some reading, trying to read between the Jerry-isms and what was going on in terms of the squad. And once I saw the next day, I think they signed Alfred Morris, which I knew that was a bad sign. I just thought it was all aligning. Michael Thomas had just signed. I thought that would kind of Jerry's next natural move would be steal ahead, Ryan Relate back and give. He's going to sign. It's just a matter of when. I thought that was coming. And then again, just to be a Jerry, follow him would be do that bang, bang, and bring both of them in for the press conference, Zach and Zeke. And then you're going to have Cooper 2 would be after that. He's probably making the least amount of noise. But it's swing and a miss, man. Big swing and a big two strikes.
It happens. Okay, it won't be the last time we're wrong about a prediction.
Maybe a little bit of hopeful. Maybe a little bit of hopeful thinking.
That's right. The homer. Like, get the boys in camp. Let's get it going. Okay. All right. So a couple of things we want to talk about. We mentioned before, we're pretty new at this podcast thing, and we're just trying it out and see how it goes, and hopefully everybody enjoys it. Again, if you want to check us out on Facebook, it's the Wager Makers Podcast. And Twitter is at the Wager Makers. Instagram's at the Wager Makers. And you can email us for any information at thewagermakers@gmail.com. So I mentioned the bumper music with John Groh. And another part of putting this podcast together has been getting a logo for us on the Wager Makers. Yeah. And so in order to be on iTunes, so you need this this image that's 3,000 by 3,000 pixels, whatever that is. Like I said, we're not the best when it comes to the computer thing and the podcast thing. So I'm sure that's some type of measurement of how high depth the picture is and
just
things like that.
It's a resolution, yeah. Exactly. Of the file.
So we've had some issues. We were wanting to do a little cartoon logo of ourselves. So when you pop it on iTunes, it'll show our picture and then say the Wager Makers Podcast up top. I'm going to post what we have working on so far on our Facebook page so you can see what we're talking about. It's kind of it has not turned out well so far. And so we're still at the drawing board on that. Webb, what do you think about the pictures that we got so far?
I look like an elf. I don't work for Santa. My name ain't, I don't know, Dennis, whatever that dude from, what is his name from?
Yeah, Rudolph. He was a dentist, right? Yeah, you wanted to be a dentist. Yeah. So our ears are looking pretty long. We're looking pretty rough. Yeah, it's more of a caricature than a cartoon of ourselves.
Well, that's all right. But, it's a balloon head. It's a lot. There's a lot going on there.
I'm going to pop that on our Facebook page. Hey, so you can get out of it. I will label it under logo number one fail.
And
we'll go from there. Any suggestions, or if we have any computer wizards out there that can help us to the bottom of this,
we need to
get on iTunes and Spotify and all those type things. We need this 3,000 by 3,000 resolution logo, and our plan one has not. We're going to need to go to plan B. We're going to need to go to plan B.
No doubt.
So, all right. Well, let's start.
Smith, I got to ask you a question here, though, man. I know you mentioned the Hall of Fame. We talked about the speeches. How many boxes of tissues we go through the other day, man?
I got to tell you, man. I talked about that last week. How much I like the speeches, and I didn't feel it too much this time. I did.
Get out of here. Maui didn't bring a tear to your eye.
Which
tear
one?
Your eye? Kevin Maui.
Yep. And also when the who was it offhand? It was
Tony Gonzalez.
No, he was speaking to his grandparents in the and he had two empty seats with roses sitting on them.
Oh yeah, I didn't see that. I'm glad.
That one kind of got me. That one got me. Who the heck? Which guy? It wasn't. I don't think it was Champ. Oh, Ty Law. So Ty Law is sitting there. He's got two empty seats with roses sitting on him. He was talking to his grandparents, talking about all the things his grandparents did. Yeah, the Hall of Fame speeches get to me. Like I say, I really feel like I get kind of sappy. I really feel like, when Mawai was talking to his dad and all the things that he taught
him. Those two guys, his friends there. Yeah, they was good. And then he really brought up the whole religious thing. I turned it down.
Right. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I've seen other ones that I enjoyed more, but like I say, the Ty Law stood out for me but there was a big New Orleans and Louisiana contingent. Of course, Mawai went to LSU. Ed Reed is a New Orleans guy. And, And even, So, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Other years I've enjoyed the speeches a little more, but That's the way it goes. So right. I was looking.
You're cold-hearted now, man. That's all. You're cold-hearted these days.
Nah, man. I'm softy. Softy. So let's start looking at some of the. So we went 1-1 in the first game of the preseason. We stretched a little bit, probably obviously getting over and trying to get two picks out of one game. Let's take a look at some of the preseason games coming up. We'll take a look at some intriguing matchups, some things we've been looking for. One of the things I like to check out in the preseason is kind of like new quarterbacks and young quarterbacks. So you got Arizona, with Kyler Murray, and that's a whole going to be a whole new offense there. What do you think that experiment's going to be like up there, out there in the desert?
I'm not optimistic. Not that I'm down on Kyler and or Kingsbury. I just don't think they don't have the personnel, particularly the offensive line, to get anything done in any type of head turning way this season. You're looking. We talked about the over unders. Dude, like 4 or 5 wins total. I think it's going to be kind of ugly. I don't know that they have too many, but they got Peterson that's suspended on the defense, and they got the one pass rusher. So I'm not optimistic for them. And again, I'm not trying to knock Kyler and or Kingsbury. I just don't think they have enough horses at this point. And coming out this week, what can they show? They don't want to show anything. And how much can they expose Kyler? So I'm not looking for much out of them at all this week.
Right. Obviously, they're going to want to the Kingsbury offense is going to be very different to the NFL, especially with Kyler Murray. He's such a dynamic guy. But certainly in the preseason, I think they're not going to want to show anything. Why would you? You know, so they're not going to be really running their regular offense. Some other new faces. You got Rosen down there in Miami, and also Nick Foles is heading over to Jacksonville. You guys think you think they might have some success?
I was big on Rosen, man. I've been a fan of his since, early UCLA days. I told all my Jet fan buddies up here that wouldn't be the worst thing if they got Rosen. But I may be kind of swallowing my words here. What I'm reading, everything we're seeing, he's not even beating out Fitzpatrick down there in Miami. So I'm going to have to kind of reevaluate that. Maybe I missed on that one as well. But so I am withholding my judgment till after this year on him. I think he can do it. So I'm excited about him. I think if he can get, again, that's another offensive line thing. If he's just going to get pummeled, there's really not much he can do. And they got rid of, I think, anybody with talent down there anyways in Miami. So that's another team I'm not really looking for much of. That's a brand new head coach as well. And Miami, just even back in the Marino days, it's never been a big, it's just not a sports town. It's just maybe the heat it was, it was very big, but that was more limelight than anything.
Right.
It's just tough to get them out there on Sundays to watch football and really care about it.
Yep. How about it seems like Jacksonville a year ago had a lot of pieces in place minus one. Now they have Nick Foles going down there. Is he a product of the system in Philly, or is he somebody that can help out? Certainly he can be better than Bortles, and with the defense and some of the parts and pieces they have around him. Seems like he could be the part, but it also seems like that coach might have lost that team last year.
I don't know what that would have functioned of the quarterback or what that was. I do have, in complete transparency, I am not an Eagles fan. I work in Philly. I'm a Cowboy fan. So I am not the biggest Nick Foles fan. I don't know that lightning can strike. Maybe it almost struck twice. So I think he's a solid quarterback. He's definitely not worth the money that they paid him. Not that they had any choice. I think their defense will be back. I think that defensive end just came into camp today or yesterday. Ramsey came into camp in an armored car, which was pretty funny. I think they're going to be solid. I think Fournette kind of got a little bit of a wake-up call as well. He came out with some comments showing a little bit of maturity. If they can get some of that stuff back to where they had it 2 years ago, Foles can only help, like you said. But, I don't know. That division's getting better. The AFC is tough. So, that's their wild card for sure. For sure.
That's a tough division. They play with Tennessee and the Colts and the Texans. That's actually in the AFC that's shaping up. If teams reach their potential up there, that could be a very tough force to deal with.
Right. And that's because they're going to cannibalize each other. And probably everyone's on the Colts to be the best team there, but that's always tough to win in the division on the road. So that's they may get all out of there even, and it depends what's going to go on outside of the division, obviously. So that's tough. Interesting to watch.
Right. Right. Also, I'm looking at the Redskins. They have a lot of issues, but I like Dwayne Haskins in Ohio State, but I don't know if he's got what it's going to be taken to take an NFL team. That's just a mess. I don't know what to expect from them, but I'm looking forward to seeing them in a preseason. But they might have a lot of issues.
I'm a Haskins fan. I was upset that I know he was going to go into the division either way, being a Cowboy fan. It was either, the Giants again. Not sure what was going on there, but he's with the Redskins. But again, this is another guy. I'm not sure they're not setting up setting him up to fail. The left tackle's out of camp. The best player on the team, straight Trent Williams. So I again, that's another team I kind of scratched my head. I'm not sure what they're thinking, and that's even coming from a Cowboy fan at this point. But I don't know that what they have, and again, talent wise, I'm not sure who he's going to throw the ball to. The LSU kid, right, Geis, is in the backfield, but he's right. Always hurt. And you're not doing anything without an offensive line. And again, the best player, literally the best player on the team, is out of camp and unhappy. And you're just not starting off right. And I've never been a fan of Gruden in a head coaching position anyway. So whatever they're doing down there, I just hope they keep doing it.
Right. That bodes well for the Cowboys fans. All right. Speaking of the Cowboys, they have their first preseason game is against the 49ers, and that's a Saturday night on the NFL Network. And right now, as far as preseason games goes, the 49ers are laying 4 to the Cowboys. Do you find that surprising?
I do. I mean, that's a pretty big line for a team that's as highly touted as the Cowboys. But when you look at what's going on with the Cowboys and how – again, I'm going back my entire life with this team. Even the Jimmy Johnson days when we were good, they just don't value the preseason period. They don't – the wins and losses literally don't matter. They're playing – there's going to be no one playing. Prescott's not going to play. We know Zeke's not in camp. Zach Martin's banged up. Travis Frederick's not going to play. Cooper's banged up. Sean Lee, so shocker, is banged up. You're not going to see Jalen Smith. You're not going to see – I mean, there's – 25 guys I could rattle off that aren't going to play. The Cowboys have bigger aspirations, as realistic or not as they are. And the team like the Niners needs some positivity. A lot of like what we were saying with the Broncos the other day is that they just, not that they need to win, they need positive plays, positive things to go on with a variety of different players at a variety of different positions. And I think that alone can be enough just to win the game. And 4 points are telling us. They're telling us the Cowboys are getting smoked.
Yeah, I agree. You know that the Niners they had such high hopes, I think, going into last year after they signed Garoppolo and he went down. I think they're definitely going to be looking. If I'm not mistaken, John Lynch is still the GM over there and calling the shots.
It's Shanahan's second season, I think, right?
Right. They're going to be they're definitely going to be looking to change things and turn them around. And they were a team on the rise a year ago, and the Cowboys, like you say, have really nothing to prove out here except for trying to get out of there healthy. So I'd agree about the 49ers, and that 4 is a weird number for preseason. That's a pretty high number for a preseason game, but that shows you that the I read a story today about how most of the preseason gambling is done by the real wise guys and not necessarily your average football bettor in the preseason. And so if those lines are taking huge darts one way or another, you know that some money's going down one way. So I think that's something to look at here in these
what they were
games.
Saying, yeah, those lines are much truer, in quotes, than the regular lines. That means that line's rated. So that's you're going to go to the favorite there. Niners are going to win that game in cover pretty easily, I think.
Right. Another one we talked about earlier is the Colts versus the Bills. I think we mentioned last week about when you're betting on preseason games, you want to look at the quarterbacks and the quarterback situation, and not necessarily the starters, but more importantly, the second and third string guys. So the Bills right now, they need, again, something positive to happen. They're going to be playing hard. They're going to be at home. They have Josh Allen. I think they're still not sure exactly what they have with him. They'll probably want him to throw the ball around a little bit and see what he might only get a few series. But also behind him, they have Matt Barkley and Derek Anderson. They're proven guys that when they're coming in there in the second and third quarter in the second half, they're probably not going to make mistakes. They're going to be able to do some things and move the ball around. The Colts, you know, Luck is out, and most likely his backup, they might try and rest him as well.
Is that Jacoby Brissett, whatever the guy from?
Right, right. Brissett. He actually looked pretty good last year at times, and
he's
like
good.
A guy on a rise.
Listen, they're not going to take any chances with Andrew Luck. I mean, the Colts are they're a hot pick for the Super Bowl. That's another team. They just want to just get out of here. If they didn't have to play this game, I'm sure they wouldn't play the game if they could choose. They just want to let's get to the third game. Let's get Andrew Luck, you know, two series, have him complete a couple passes, get these guys, let them step up and take one hit, and then let's get them out of there. Again, the Bills, they've been selling you know, promises and hope the whole time. They got Josh Allen. I think he showed some flashes last year, and they signed some guys. They got my guy Beasley, a couple other receivers. I think he would probably play a series or two. Again, just get some positive results and get him out of there. But their defense is always good, and they're kind of deep. So I you got to go, I think, with the Bills there. Again, just another one of these teams that just trying to get some positivity going, get it all going forward. So I think that's a right. good one, too.
Agreed. Bills. Now, a team right in your home turf up there, the game right up in your home turf up there. I remember used to go to this preseason game every year. It was probably one of the few games I made it to up there. The Jets Giants preseason game is always a big deal. And what are your thoughts on that one?
I don't know what the Giants are doing. This is the thing. Just like I said with the Redskins, whatever they're doing, I just hope they keep doing it. They seem to think that Eli Manning is still. I can't take anything away from him, and I don't. I respect him 2 Super Bowl rings, but the catch that Mario Manningham made, and any other guy catches the ball on his head. There was another missed field goals here, and you know I don't want to commiserate as a Cowboy fan, but there's no way that Daniel Jones can get this done for them. I don't know what they're thinking. I was on the way to work the other day, and I heard someone say that he's ahead. He's far and away ahead of where they thought he would be, and then if that's the truth, and I can't imagine where they think he would be. They have a couple players on the offensive line. I like the kid Hernandez they drafted last year. But on defense, I don't see who they have. Janoris Jenkins is older. I'm sure he's not thrilled to be on this team. What's going on at this point? The receivers are all – Golden Tate is suspended. Shepard is hurt. And then the other guy they got in, Coleman, who really hasn't done anything anyway, but that was their big free agent signing. He is out for the year. Obviously, Barkley's a generational talent, but – I don't know how much he can do, and he's one of these guys, too. Is he going to be pummeled by the time it's year 3 or year 4 either? The Jets, to me, are a different team. I'm a big Sam Darnold fan. I think they spent some money wisely. I think their offensive line is okay. Cahill just came out of retirement to sign with them, which was a surprise. I think that's good at the center position. That's one of the spots where some guy could come off the couch and kind of just draw, generate some traffic or whatever, direct some traffic and be real effective, especially for a young quarterback. Le'Veon Bell, and then defense, they got a couple studs already. They got your guy in the secondary. They got Williams and the two Williams brothers on one Williams USC, and they just drafted the dude from Nick Saban from Alabama. So I think that just they're trending in complete opposite directions. As far as this game goes, I don't Daniel Jones cannot do it. It reminds me of when the Jets tried to reach for, Hattenberg from Penn State. So I'm not as, because who knows what's going to happen. I'm not as happy picking this game, but in terms of the franchise, it's opposite. One's going up, one's going down. I'd go with the Jets just based off of that.
Right. I think, the Jets are just more solid, more depth at this point. The Giants are just a mess. They have all kinds of injuries on the wide receivers. Of course, the starting wide receivers in the first preseason game would only get so much action anyway. They're going to try and give the young quarterback a lot of reps and see what he can do. Just not sure he can do it. We both agree that Jets minus the 1.5 against the Giants is a solid play here first week of preseason. Next one we're going to look at, we mentioned the Arizona.
Just another quote on another cut. Just that line too. It scares me a bit. 1.5. That's one that should be, that in that 3 range, I think. So that's as the ones we talked about as our heavy hitters. That's probably my least favorite just based on what that number set tells me.
Sometimes too good to be true. Too good to be true. Usually is. So another game we touched on Arizona a little bit and the new offense and the new quarterback and the new system and how they may just be going totally vanilla here in the preseason. And they're playing the Chargers this week. And we talked a lot about backup quarterbacks in the preseason. The Chargers backup quarterbacks are I'm not sure how healthy Tyrod Taylor is, but that's who's listed right now on their depth chart. And also Cardale Jones, the former Ohio State quarterback. So I'm kind of leaning Chargers way. How about you, Webb?
I got to agree with that. The Chargers are deep. They're talented. That's even on the defensive side, no matter who's in there, they're going to have somebody who can play and some hungry guys looking for spots. And a team like that, I mean, they're deep, not to bring back the Cowboys, but so these guys aren't just trying for the Chargers. They're looking, you know, just they want to get some good tape on there. And that's a good thing. I think that's one thing for Tyrod Taylor, too. He seems to be always looking for a job. I think he's, you know, a borderline starter, definitely an A-plus backup. So he's looking to get some more good tape out there, especially after he's kind of unceremoniously, he just came to afterthought last year in Cleveland. So you got to go with the Chargers. I don't know what the Cardinals can do. I really don't.
All right, so we'll see. So that's going to be our best bets for this week. We're still getting together a plan for how we're going to do our picks. Obviously, me and Webb will not be agreeing on everything. There's not even a chance that that's going to happen. No. But we're going to try and come up with about four or five college picks, four or five pro picks every week that we'll agree on. And those are going to be called our best bets. And we're going to put those are the ones we're going to put on sportswatchmonitor.com. So just so you can keep track of us, know we're not full of shit. Right. If you're looking for next week's episode, we're going to really get into these games we just picked. And we'll look into preseason week number two, but also we're going to be getting big time into college football and college football futures, over unders games to win, and money lines for winning the national championship. What do you think, Weber?
Oh man, it's the usual suspects. I think, I mean, we got to dig into a little bit deeper, but I don't see, I think Tua is going to be ridiculous this year. Same thing with Clemson with their quarterback. And then, you know, you're just hoping for another sleeper out there. Frohn from Georgia is going to be good, but he's got to play Alabama. I'm hoping that the Florida teams get better. I'm hoping that Miami's better. I'm hoping Florida State's better. I'm hoping Ohio State can kind of stay there. And I'm not a big Harbaugh fan, but if he's not going to do it this year, he's not going to do it any year. And then those teams out west, they're pussies, dude. Every year that nothing happens. We say they're going to be good, and nothing ever happens with any team, you know, west of Oklahoma. Oh, that's an interesting too. I'm glad I said, because Jalen Hurts is going to be in Oklahoma, and I'm a big fan of Lincoln Riley's. So maybe they can make some noise too. So I mean, you want the four or five or the same four or five everybody has: Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, maybe Michigan, but I doubt that. Maybe they probably missing a sleeper in there, but that's usual suspects, man.
All right, so we'll go more in depth with the college football next week. We'll talk all about how we made out with these four best bets. Again, that's the Niners -4, the Jets -1.5, the Bills -1.5, and the Chargers +2. Biggest highlight from my coming up college football season is that we will be in Clemson for the Florida State Clemson game. Can't wait for that. Check out the Wager Makers podcast live from Clemson University. On location at Clemson versus Florida State. That's going to be a lot of fun. Again, Facebook, the Wager Makers podcast, Twitter at the Wager Makers, Instagram at the Wager Makers. And if you have any questions, please, we'd love to hear from you. That's the Wager Makers @gmail.com. So Webb, good talking with you. We'll be back up in a few days and get our next thing out there. This is episode number 3 of the Wager Makers.
Awesome, man. Love it. Thanks, everybody.
Talk to you. Take care.